The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Kit Cameron of KCHA Radio in Charles City and Steve Woodhouse of the Knoxville Journal-Express. The first question will come from KCHA's Kit.
Good afternoon, Senator Grassley.
Yeah, it is a good afternoon. Thank you.
It is. You recently voted to extend the renewable electricity tax credit in support of that. But you have said in the past that you don't believe tax credits should be indefinite. And I just wondered, why did you think this was worthy of being extended? And generally, how long do you think tax credits should last, how long at most, I should say?
Well, I think there'd be a different length of time for a different source of renewable fuels. In this case, you're asking about the tax credit for wind energy. And I'm the author of the Wind Energy Tax Credit going back to 1992. And a general rule of thumb would be when an industry is mature, like let's say ethanol used to have a tax credit. It doesn't now, at least ethanol from grain. Ethanol from corn stalk still has a tax credit. But anyway, when it gets mature, then you do away with it. That's just kind of a rule of thumb. Now, in the case of wind, I'd say that's 3-4 years from now. And so I'd like to see it renewed because the taxpayers have X number of dollars. I don't know how many dollars they might have invested in wind energy, but it's a lot. And to not see it to completion and maturity would be a shame. It'd be almost like you're wasting what's already happened. So I think in the case of wind, 3-4 years, and I can say this, that even the Wind Energy Association, maybe 2 or 3 years back, suggested a phase out. And now there's some people, the reason it's quite an issue that I'm speaking out on is because some people in the Senate want to do away with it right now. So that's why I'm emphasizing a phase out, because it's realistic and it meets the principle of maturity. You do away with it.
Steve?
And I wanted to ask you about the hearings for Loretta Lynch. How are those going? I read some comments that that she supports President Obama's executive action on immigration. And I was just wondering what your impressions are of Loretta Lynch, and do you think that she will be an advocate for the Constitution, or will she kind of let presidents do what they want?
Well, if I'm going to give her justice, she says she's going to be an advocate for the Constitution. And so that's what she says up front, but it kind of makes you skeptical when she says that what the president did on immigration is constitutional, when a lot of people, including some Democrats, have already spoken out that it went way beyond what the Constitution allows the president to do. So there, another aspect of her situation is that she's no doubt competent to be an attorney general. Being academic and smart and well-trained in the law and being a successful prosecutor as a U.S. attorney, nobody's arguing with her qualifications. But for the last 5 years, we've seen a Justice Department transformed into a branch of the White House. Even the President Attorney General, Eric Holder, says that he was wingman for President Obama's and the programs. So that speaks better than any words I can put into it. So we have a situation where the department's become politicized. It's a department that isn't as transparent as it should be, cooperating with Congress on giving us the information that we need on congressional oversight responsibilities we have. And so I pointed out that I thought the department was fixed. It's not a question of her competence. It's a question, is she going to fix it? And we haven't got satisfactory answers to that at this point.
Kit?
So the hearing is over, though, now. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kate.
Senator Grassley, you've said that you believe the people of Iowa would generally like to see a simplified tax code, And you also recently mentioned that you thought that you and the President of the United States have some major philosophical differences. How do you see his philosophical differences from you affecting what's going on with farming in Iowa, and particularly like farm families that are affected by the transfer of family farm when they're going from generation to generation?
Yeah,
how do you see the President's policies?
You were referring, well, I don't want to answer your question just as if I was talking about the President and just farm programs, because I'm not going to accuse him of being against the family farmer, but I am going to accuse his regulators of doing things that harm the family farm, and he could stop in and hurt it. You've heard the controversy over Waters U.S., where the federal government wants to dominate almost every square inch of farmland through water rights regulations. Maybe a more recent comment I made was in regard to his changing the estate tax so that you'd turn estate tax into estate confiscation, because we've had such a big increase in the value of farmland, and if you have to sell it, you'd be taxing inflation instead of real growth of the portfolio of a particular family farmer. And I just think that he may really talk positively about the family farm, but there's these two and several other actions that the administration takes that is going to be very difficult to maintain a family farm. Now, in regard to the taxation, I don't think we have to worry about changing the estate tax from what it is to what the President wants to do. But this Water U.S., all the red tape that would come from regulation from the EPA, that's a real threat to the family farm.
Thank you.
Steve?
For many years now, we've talked about tax reform, and we've heard every politician talk about how they want to reform the tax code and make it simpler. And so I was just wondering, you know, has there been any movement on that and on making the tax code any simpler?
Well, Senator Hatch, who took over as chairman of the Finance Committee from me, has appointed five working groups, of which I'm co-chair of the one on the individual income tax, but there's one on corporate tax, there's one on savings, and I'm not sure I can name the other two, but we're all working together for a simplified tax system, similar to what we passed in 1986. I'm somewhat skeptical, I'd have to tell you, but I'm going to work to do it. But if the President insists on increasing taxes by several hundreds of billions of dollars, I think that's going to just sink it. We've raised taxes enough. If the tax increases went to the bottom line, I would say it'd be a worthy move to do. But you increase taxes, and a 50-year average would give a dollar tax increase, would give Congress would continue to spend $1.13. Well, that's like a dog chasing its tail. You're never going to reduce the deficit by raising taxes. You're going to make the deficit worse. So the issue isn't that we're undertaxed. The issue is that we overspend. If we want to get the deficit down, we got to change our spending habits.
Thank you, Kit and Steve, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.